must tell you, I've never actually started crying on the first song in worship. I was worshiping at the top there, because I never do that. Bernie normally does that. I wanted to worship at the top. And the most amazing thing happened while we were singing and while we were just worshiping God. It was like God just showed me his heart for us as a church, and it just kind of spilled over into my heart for you, and I don't know where the difference was at one stage. And what was beautiful for me, sorry, I'm very emotional now, was just to hear how proud God is of each and every one of you and of us collectively. And I was actually sitting there thinking, sure, it's so easy for us to always quickly go into this negative, you know, we see everything that's wrong and all the mistakes that possibly could be made and the slides and everything. And all I could see in that moment was just everything that was right and everything that's working and everything that's blessed. And I'm going to start tonight by saying to all of you, I don't know what you are hearing, and I don't know what you're thinking, and I don't know what's going through your head, but God's heart for each of us individually and collectively is massive. And he has such a desire for us to see that, to look through those eyes, to not look through eyes that are heavy laden or burdened or critical or any of those things. Oh, there were so many people's names that went through my head now. Matthew, there you are. so you could say I was watching Matthew now, and I was remembering the first time I really saw him in his element playing. And we were in Stellenbosch at some place that you were playing, as a small group went there to go and support him. And that night, God has shown me so much of what he wants to do through him and through his ministry. And I'm looking at you now, and my heart just swells. Not even because you are, I have any part in that, but just because I can see how you've been faithful in searching for God. And I can hear it in your worship, and I really want to honor you for that. Like, it's, I can hear you spend time with God, and I want you to know that matters, and God is blessing the fruit of that. The other one that I was thinking was Effie and Anel, and I hope you guys don't mind that I'm going to use you as an example. You both already, but I really want to, I was again thinking of you. For those of you who don't know, they've only been married for, what is it now, 5 months, almost 6 months, okay, and this year has been a tough year for them. It's not been an easy 6 months of marriage, and they're very open to share that, so I'm not exposing them. But I felt just to say to you guys as well, thank you for persevering. Thank you for persevering and being an example of marriage that is real and that you can push through and you can work hard and you're going to be okay. And to really have faith in what's to come and not what is now. And thank you for being open to share about that with all of us. It's really, really special. And then Juliet, I think she's probably the person that no one, oh, I don't know, she doesn't need an introduction. Everyone knows her. Everyone loves her. That's the Africa dance, you made my night. Oh, I was so happy. But I really want to honor Juliet. I don't think you guys understand what a blessing this woman has been to me, to the office. I know for you she's a blessing because I can see how she includes you in her life. But for me personally, Jules, I want to say thank you for... Yes. Thank you for being so open about your life and being open to share. And I've learned so much through you about community. It has inspired me and convicted me in a way that no one has done before. And I really want to say thank you that you're still teachable in all of that. You can teach all of us so much. And yet, you are so humble and so willing and so obedient and so bold. I hope to see more dances. And I really want to speak over you that there's big things for you and your boldness is growing and it's awesome to see, and allowing God to keep using you in that sense. It's really special. Now I'm going a bit. John and Jess is the other one. John and Jess, when Murray and I, back in the day, was leading a small group, and then my ministry in church changed a bit, and we went to them, and we were like, you guys need to take over our small group. And they were kind of like, okay, this is a bit sudden. And they were so, again, so humble, and so like, it's, you know, prayed about it and came back and said, we're keen to do this, we're ready to do this. And I want to say, like, watching you guys grow in your own authority and your own love and your compassion for the people around you has been such a joy. And I've got massive expectations for the two of you. I really have. I've got high expectations of the two of you. I feel like you're that couple that I want to keep my eye on, and I'm going to keep pushing you to get where you need to go, because I really believe if you don't have a day where you don't believe in it, trust me, there's people around you that sees that. And then the last one, sorry, I'm going to finish now, was Vilmarie. Sorry. Vilmarie, I saw, and I know, sort of from school. we were never actually like close friends at school. We were in different standards and whatever, but I want to honor you tonight just for seeing what God can do in someone's life just because they commit to search his heart. If I see the Vilmarie that came into the church, and if I look at you now, it's visible how much you've grown and how much you've sought God's heart. And I know you also have it tough, and you also don't always get everything right, and you're strict on yourself, but that's such a beautiful thing to witness, how you really keep focusing on what God wants for you and for the people around you. And I want to completely say God is going to use you to change a lot of things. I'll say it like that. Okay. Sure. I don't know if I'm going to even get to my sermon. So I'm supposed to talk about the art of collaboration, but at this point I'm talking about how awesome you are. So I want to just say something short and sweet tonight, because I actually felt there's something God's doing in the worship, and I don't want to take up actually a lot of time. So Matthew and band, like, I'm going to call you up soon so we can keep going. But I just want to say one thing. God's heart for community is incredible. Community, and we've been talking about it for 2 weeks now, but it's one thing to talk about it, and it's another thing to see it. And from where I'm standing, I don't even always have the best of an example in my life, what I do, how I live out community. If I look at myself, I go, sure, I have a lot to learn and a lot to grow. And that's why having someone like a Jules in the office with you, who just challenges every aspect of what I think community is so good for me personally. But then I look around and I look at you guys and I go, there's so many of you that already are getting this right and that have such a desire to fight for community and not complain about it. And saying that, I know it's not easy always, and I know everything's not perfect, and I know just looking at Facebook this morning, all the comments that were made about the Springbokke last night, I know we can make a lot of comments, okay, about everything that shouldn't happen and can happen and must happen, and we can make the best rugby team ever, okay? And that filters into church a lot of times. But I want to say tonight, God's heart for us is to reflect his heart, and especially when it comes to relationship. He was the one that said, it is not good for man to be alone. That was him. He is the God that is part of the Trinity. That's the essence of who he is. And saying that, God never puts something on us that says you need to get it perfectly right all the time. But I love his sense of humor, how he puts all of us, this mixed batch of people, together. And then he says, love one another as I have loved you. And that's not always easy, because we're so different and we're so gifted in different areas, and there's so much that God can do just through each of us alone. But I had someone tell me this morning, focus on what can be, what could be, and I needed to hear that. So thank you, Bernie. Because that's exactly how the body works. That's how God intended it, where every part fills every other part, where we cover one another's weaknesses, so it's not all about everything that's not working and not happening and how we're not measuring up. But it's going to cost us something, because that takes sacrifice and it takes faith in what we cannot see to be able to live like that, where we live from a place of, we already have it. It's here. We must just embrace it. We must just receive it. We all know the passage so well of the body and everyone being a part of the body, and one is an eye and one is a foot and one is an ear. And I remember when I was little, I was like, Lord, please just don't let me be the foot, because I don't want to have to like have all the weight of everything on top of me. But then I realized the foot is so important, because without the feet, how are you going to walk? Where are you going to go? So I'm going to jump around quickly. I just want to get to what I want to say here. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 27, it's a whole passage about the body. And we all know this, so I decided to do it from the Message version, because I really want us to see it with fresh eyes, so we can actually hear what God is saying. But I want to skip to the second slide, where it says, each of us is now a part of his resurrection body, refreshed and sustained at one fountain, his spirit, where we all come to drink. And now I took a liberty. That's my own labels there. The old labels we once used to identify ourselves, doctor, teacher, parent, designer, entrepreneur, barista, surfer, pretty, smart, hashtag awesome, wanderlust, married, single, hashtag I don't have a label, are no longer useful. I love the message. These labels don't matter anymore. Each of us sitting here have been maybe carrying a label for most of our life. And as you go into new seasons, you get a different label. But God is saying, doesn't matter. That actually doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how you define your own identity, because in me, your identity is in me. And your identity is in me, the church, the body. Isn't that incredible? And that kind of freaks us out a little bit, because it does go against that, no, but I want to be my own person. And God is going, yeah, I know, but you're your own person within a big person. We need something larger, more comprehensive. God in all his goodness knew from the beginning that it was not good for us to be alone. Isn't that incredible? He knew that. He foresee it. And then I love this. I want you to think about how all this makes you more significant, not less. It's all the different but similar parts arranged and functioning together. But no matter how significant you are, it is only because of what you are a part of. That's beautiful. Because again, God says, I'm celebrating the whole, not just the individual. The whole is beautiful. The way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part dependent on every other part. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and the healing. If one part flourishes, every other part enters into the exuberance. And now here is my favorite part, okay? You are Christ's body. That's who you are. And right there, he gives us an identity. It's not me, myself, and I. It's not my desires and my things and my significance. He's saying, you are mine. You are representing my body. You are a part of my body. You must never forget this. Only as you accept your part of that body, does your part mean anything. I actually took my phone out now. Can I get this? There's a beautiful passage in Revelations that speaks of what the new heaven will look like, what the new city will look like, heaven and earth. when God comes back. There's such a beautiful description. I wish I could read the whole thing, but I'm not going to. Revelation 21, all that I want you to hear is, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. Community. Even God's design for how it will end up at the end is him with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. All I want to say tonight is we need to stop listening to all the external voices that is telling us what community should be and what it should look like. All our past experiences ministering to us and saying, don't have an expectation, or do have an expectation, have massive expectations, unrealistic expectations. We need to quiet those voices, because there's only one place that needs to shape what our expectation for this church and our community and our family and our friendship should be, and that is God's vision for what church and what family and what community and what relationship and what marriage should be. Not the world. Because if we're going to allow the world to come and minister to us about what it should look like, we're going to be disappointed. We're going to be hurt. Because it's a worldly perspective and it's fleshly. But from God's perspective, it's a city where the streets are made of gold and people are living together in harmony. And he is in the midst of that. And it's not about waiting for it one day when we get to heaven. It's his desire for us right now. If we look at the church in Acts, the very first church that God, through his intervention, birthed, that's what we see. A church that lived together, worshiped together, served together, loved together, where everyone was included in everything, and they were 3,000 strong. 3,000. And we feel lost sometimes in our size church. That's God's heart. That first church was birthed because all those people, right after the Holy Spirit was given to the disciples, even in that, God's showing how he understands relationship and community, giving his Holy Spirit so that we will not be alone. Right after that moment, Peter stands up, he gives the most epic Spirit-filled sermon ever, and 3,000 people get saved, baptized, and they start a church. That's God. That is not a man-made, let's force this fleshly church. That is God going, this needs to happen now. And go and read it. Go read in Acts how God added daily to that church. Now that's a high standard, I agree. Because it's supernatural, because it's God's heart going, this is what I want, this is my vision. And all I'm hearing is, God, not my heart, but your heart. Not my past, not my experiences, not my ideas, but you. I want your heart. I want the vision that you have for community in this church and in my family. So how? How are we going to do that? And the answer is very simple. When Jesus was sitting with his disciples and they ate together, he said to them a very simple thing. Do as I have now done. Follow my example. I'm paraphrasing. And what an example Jesus was, even before that moment. He was God, and yet he chose to walk in relationship while on this earth. What an example. He chose men around him that was very different than him. Can we just say that? Who's the guy that they said is the one of thunder? Who's that? Okay. I'm hearing a lot of vague. Thank you. you can clearly see in the walk of how they walked together, all of them were different, and they challenged one another, and they shaped one another. It was a double-edged sword, because on the one hand, they had the privilege of walking with God, and the other hand, they had to walk with a lot of other guys as well. It wasn't one guy with Jesus and that was it. It was a community of men that were very different. And then it ends here, this beautiful picture where he has this last supper with them. And he gets down and washes their feet. I mean, after everything that they've been through, I would have assumed they would do that for him. But his heart, he got this so beautifully that he had to show them. He couldn't just tell them, go do what I did for you now. He showed them. And that is what God's heart is for us. To not wait for something to happen, not to wish and hope that the love and the relationship that we can have for one another is going to happen someday, but that it will happen naturally. Because our hope is not in each other. And our hope is definitely not in me. Our hope is in who he is and the example that he already gave and the vision that he already showed us that's going to come. The city that's awaiting us. The community that's going to come. But until that time, we have an opportunity to build and to love here. And this doesn't have to be a burden. And this doesn't have to be something that gets heavy for us. Not when he's the fountain. Not when he's the one that we find that example from. But it's something we're going to have to choose to do. I was actually speaking earlier with Bernie, and he was sharing stories about his family and growing up and just such a sense of community that he had, which in itself is a privilege. And I know a lot of you have that, which is amazing. I actually have to say my one true example that I had of that was through a friend of mine, their family. I remember just wanting to go there over weekends because her family just understood community in a way that my family didn't at the time. And I just wanted to be in that house. I wanted to be a part of it. And her mom, I'll never forget this, her mom just made me feel like I was already one of the children. Just come, you're doing the dishes, come help us, come. Henri, some of you are going to sleep there on the floor. Let's go. And then sometimes I'll be like so awkward because I'm not used to community. And I kept thinking I'm going to do something wrong. And then my friend would go, ugh, just relax. It's fine. And I'll spill something. It's fine. It's okay. On holidays, we also had the privilege of having holiday close to one another. And I would literally make excuses just to go there to be with their family for holiday. And no, their family wasn't perfect either, but they got community. They were in each other's space. They knew everything. I remember her and her brother as well. I had never seen a relationship like her and her brother because they felt more like friends than brother and sister. And trust me, they could fight. In front of me, I'm standing there and they're going at each other. And right after, they hug and they do the look on their head and fine. And I longed for that because I didn't know it. But I guess the thing is, if I'm going to go through the rest of my life hoping for that and not being that, it's going to be a lonely road for me. And that's why when Jules speaks in the office about stuff that she's doing with you guys or someone that she just gave a flat to them or she just gave a car to someone or she's just going to go now and take food to this person and then I'm sitting there going, how do you know how to do this? How do you know? Because it's in her. It's a part of who she is. And that's what's beautiful for me about the church in Acts, is that was a part of who they were. No one told them to love one another. No one told them to serve. It just happened naturally because they had seen and tasted that God is good and they needed to share that with each other and the city around them. That is beautiful. But it takes that step of, I'm going to take a step in faith. I'm going to love in spite of. Because God loved me first. And even here as I'm standing, I know I don't have it right perfectly. I know that I don't have great, perfect communities around me. But I am excited to keep standing in faith for it and keep working for it and keep learning how to get it right. I actually went to 3 of my friends this year. Praise the Lord, just one of them are here tonight. I actually went to 3 of my girlfriends and repented about the fact that I'm a terrible friend because I'm busy and I go on with my life and I forget about them. And you know that all 3 of them, humble pie, said to me, yeah, it's true. You did make me feel neglected. And the Lord is so gracious because humble pie, okay, sorry. But I knew in that moment, this was a turning point for me. Either I can learn from this and grow, or I'm going to stay the sucky friend. And I didn't want to lose them, because they're the kind of people that I want in my life for years to come. And a lot has changed since those conversations happened. But it takes a bit of humility. I'm saying it somewhat out loud. And that's why tonight, and then we're going to end off, I want to honor you for the growth that I have been witness to over the past how many years. I haven't even been here as long as Elizabeth and Tiens and them, but I know from when I came in here, a lot has changed. And I want to thank you for persevering, for pushing through, for having hope in this church, even in the times when we couldn't see it. Thank you for the people that have started these social groups and you're just doing it by yourself and we didn't tell you to do it and I'm just hearing amazing stories. FOMO, I really want to go as well. You know, thank you for the single people that have just embraced such a joy about, you know, let's just go do stuff together, whatever. Doesn't matter if we're not married. And they say that to me and I go, wow, that's so cool. I'm loving this. And they're going and they're doing stuff and they're doing it together. And in that togetherness, I'm hearing how they're convicting one another and challenging one another. I love it. The band as well, from when we started as a band, it's incredible for me to see how God has challenged us in how we worship together and what we stand in faith for. And I can go on and on and on and on. So I want to end with that tonight. I know this sounds like a semi-sort of sermon, but I just felt an overwhelming urge to honor and to celebrate. Maybe because I was also convicted to do that rather. But I really want to say thank you for having a heart that wants to see change, that wants to see love in action. And yes, sometimes I understand that that becomes a frustration because we want to see it so badly. But let's rather, instead of focusing on why is it not working yet, keep persevering. Because God has already blessed us and we mustn't look past that. We mustn't forget how far we have come. I want you to stand quickly. I want the band to come as well. And then I'm just going to ask the ushers to please just get the communion as well. Jules is blessing me. She's reminding everything that I forgot to say. You'll see these little cards on your chairs. The idea with this was just, in case you haven't had an opportunity to join a small group, maybe you haven't had an opportunity to sign up for a ministry team, please do that. Fill in the card. You can bring it to me. You can bring it to Jules. You can take it to the info desk. And while I'm on the topic, I really want to say that I think probably the area in which I had to learn to understand friendship and relationship the most has been in ministry teams. Anyone here who's ever served in a ministry team will know exactly what I'm saying. And my reference obviously is mainly band. I'm not going to expose us. There's lots of things that happen in band that no one else knows. But I know today that because of the band, in every church that I've been in, I always feel I've come home. Even if I don't know the people, as soon as I walk into a church and I can identify with a band, there's a sense of home. Saturday, we practiced for the first time for the Convergence worship. And it was so beautiful. I was only one of two girls there. The rest were all guys. And the guys were literally standing there emotional. Man, I missed you guys. I missed this because we've come together for years now, building this relationship. And that's why you're getting these cards, to be a part of something greater, to be a part of a family, a community, a smaller community, because that's where you're really going to learn about yourself. You're going to learn how to love. You're going to learn how to sacrifice. You're going to learn all these wonderful things that you learn when you're with people that you don't even know that well. But I know when I'm standing and I look at every person in this band, my heart gets so soft because I genuinely love you guys, genuinely. Because we sacrifice together every week. There's a purpose in our relationship. So this is just, the Carter Sisters, a reminder. If you want that, if you want to be a part of that, you can come and give it to me or Jules or the info lady. We're going to take communion together. And I feel it's so profound to do it at the end of the series and to do it around what we spoke about tonight. And I want us to do it together, taking the juice and eating, it's not bread, but eating it together from a place of celebration. Not from, sure, God, thank you for delivering me of myself. Everything is so hectic. Like, I want us to do it from a place of, look what God has done. And when I drink this, I do it from a place where I'm celebrating what his blood has done, what it means, how it has set me free. It was so stunning tonight to hear the church singing, I am free to run. I'm free to dance. And you can feel it was real. It was genuine. We have to do that again. Because it's from a place of the joy of the Lord is our strength. Because I know if I walk to some of you now, you're not going to say, well, I feel like that in every area of my life. I don't want to always run around in the office and go, yay, I'm free to run. You know, but we sing it and you sang it from a place of faith and a place where the joy of the Lord really is our strength. And that's why I want us to take communion together tonight. Where the joy of the Lord is our strength. I want you to close your eyes quickly. Father, thank you so much for just throwing things around order-wise tonight and for your faithfulness and for your heart and your plan to be amplified. Thank you, Father, for putting us in a family where we don't look the same, we don't talk the same, we come from different backgrounds. It's a mixed bunch of wonderful people, Lord, and we get to do this every week. And yes, Lord, sometimes it feels hard, but for most of it, Father, we want to say thank you that it's not by my strength or your strength or our strength, it's by you and you alone. It is by your grace that we as a church have grown and learned and served and loved. It is by your grace that our church hasn't closed its doors, Father, because you are for church. And thank you that we are also, as a church, a part of a greater body in the city, where we form part of a greater plan. Thank you, Father, tonight for reminding us that it's not about me, myself, and I. That it's about us, and that's beautiful. Thank you for knowing us so well that you knew we needed to have people around us. And thank you for not allowing us to isolate ourselves. Thank you for the constant push to go back. To go back to our families, to go back to our friends, to go back to our marriages, to go back to church, to go back to work, to our neighbors, and stand for something. Father, we don't want to be a reflection of our culture. We want to be a reflection of you, the God who wanted and desired and delighted in community. And we want that as a reflection in our church. And so, Father, tonight, as we drink and we eat together, Lord, we want to celebrate the victories of this church. We want to celebrate how many years of being faithful, Father, and your hand being here. We want to celebrate tonight every person that has joined this family, every person that we've sent, every mission team that we've sent, every life that has been changed by this community, everything that you have done, because it was by your grace alone. Thank you, Father, for your grace on us. And we celebrate with you. Let's eat. Let's drink together. I'm going to do one last thing and then we're going to worship. Really excited to worship now. I know he's not going to be happy about this. Tiens, can I maybe ask that you just come to the front quickly? Papa Tiens. I don't want to look at you, I'm gonna cry. Give a mighty tissue, man. Ay, ay, ay. Deans, I want to thank you for your perseverance and your praise and your faith in the bigger picture. I know it's not hard, not easy to every day constantly sit at the Lord's feet and having faith for things that we don't always see. But I want to thank you on behalf of everyone here for your love and your dedication to our church. And thank you for allowing God to use you in so many ways. For me personally, I can go on and on and on of the list of things that you've done in my life, and I'll be thankful forever. But thank you for also allowing us space to grow. And even, I mean, I don't know if you guys know that always, but Tien says this amazing thing where you can actually step back and just allow us to go. And that speaks volumes of your heart and your leadership. And yeah, I just want to say thank you for being faithful and being here. And even now that you're a dad, he's here tonight. Thank you for, yeah, just trusting in God and not in yourself. So I just want us to quickly pray for him and then I do. Yeah, Father God, we thank you for our pastor, we thank you for our leader, we thank you for our friend. We thank you, Lord, for someone who has sacrificed a lot for so many people and for this church, Father, that has given of himself in ways that we don't even know. And thank you, Father, that he always does it from a place of conviction. Thank you, Father, that he never goes to lie down, even when it gets tough, Father, how he is such an example of getting up and fighting back because he sees the bigger picture. He sees what we're standing for. He sees what we need to do. Thank you, Father, for a leader that challenges us to grow and to think for ourselves. Thank you for someone that doesn't enforce us to have community, Lord, but someone that desires for us to love one another and to serve and to be our best. Lord, if there's anyone that challenges us to be our best, it's Tiens with C.S. Lewis, Father. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, just for his heart and his capacity. And so, Father, we just want to pray for him tonight, and we pray your blessing on him. Well, Father, we pray your strength in his family. We pray for his family in this time, that nothing will come and steal the joy of this new season in their life, of being a mom and dad, Father. And thank you for what the blessing of that is already. We pray, Father, in the times where his arms get heavy, Lord, that spiritually we will be able to lift his arms, Father, that he will know that he is not alone, that he is with a community, that he's with a family, that he is not doing this on his own, Father, he's doing it with us. And thank you for the privilege that he allows us into that space, Father, that we can walk alongside him. And so, Father, we just want to speak your grace over him, your love over him, Father, that he will know that he has love, that he will know that he's supported, Father, and that you are the one in front of him, around him, surrounding him, Father. Thank you, Lord, for his heart and for his leadership, for his encouragement. And I pray, Lord, that he will just receive back the amount that he's put in multiple times. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to worship now. I just want to quickly pray for us last time. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your wisdom and for your timing and for your revelation. And Lord, we pray as we worship together now, Father, just for a heart that is unified, a heart that celebrates, a heart that is able to see beyond what we see now. Father, thank you that in faith we can declare that we are free, Father, free to worship you, to love you, to serve you. And thank you for tonight, just for that, yeah, just an opportunity to celebrate what you have done and what you are still going to do. We are expectant, Father, for growth in ways that we haven't even thought of yet. In Jesus' name, amen.